Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, and our first guest Hall of Fame inductee of the night is Steelers legend Greg Lloyd. Greg has become a wonderful friend, like I mentioned at the top of the show. When you have an opportunity to interview and spend some time with someone that's an idol or one of your athletic heroes, sometimes they disappoint. Sometimes they don't live up to what you imagined that they would be like. Well, that's not Greg Lloyd. Greg has been an unbelievable guest with us over the years, always telling us exactly how it is. And that's exactly what you expect from Greg. But not only does he tell you exactly like it is, he's also a great friend, and he's meant a great deal to us and certainly become one of our absolute favorites. That's why we're inducting him tonight into our guest Hall of Fame. Greg, Chris, and Bob, thank you so much for being so wonderful to us over the years.
Well, thank you guys so much, and congratulations, and happy anniversary, and all those good things to you, Chris and Bob. And, thanks for having me, man. This is pretty cool. And listen, I got the plaque, and on everything is in my office. I got a spot for it and everything, so I really appreciate that.
That's awesome.
We appreciate you.
Greg, one of the things I was just talking with Bob about is the fact that, you know, the Steelers have struggled so hard defensively over the last few years, and what doesn't make sense to me is the fact that you guys had such great talent on that defense in the 90s. There was you. There was Avon Kirkland, who has done some coaching. Kevin Green has been doing coaching for a couple of different teams. You have Rod Woodson, who has been a coach. Darren Perry has been a coach. But what is common is the fact that you guys aren't coaching for the Steelers. Other teams have reached out and brought you guys in to coach, but the Steelers haven't. You ever wonder why they're not calling you guys and why you guys aren't out there trying to help that defense get better and your phones aren't the ones ringing from the Steelers?
Oh, wow. All right. So you want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, right?
That's right.
I'm going to be straight up with you. Mike Tomlin is my frat brother. He's a good friend of mine. I just think it goes beyond that. I think once people get into a comfort zone with people and things of that nature, that they don't want anybody to come in and rattle the system. I mean, like you say, on the defense that we had in the 90s, any of those guys that played a start or even backed up could have been coaching. But I think Pittsburgh is one of those teams where, you know, they look for, how do you say it? Pittsburgh is blue collar. It's more of a blue collar team, and they want that. But I think Tomlin has made some decisions to go with some guys that he's basically, if I can say this, comfortable with. I think he's comfortable. You know, if you ever been around people who they hire people that won't, how do you say, they're not gonna, you know, cause them to look bad. They're not gonna cause them to be questioned or things of that nature. And I think throughout the league, you know, for the most part, you know, you kind of see this. But the teams that really want to win, they hire those guys to come in there. Now, personally, I have never been asked. I've never been asked by the Steelers to coach, you know, but I've always thought about going and do an internship, but even I have not been asked to do that. And that being said, I think what's missing is mentality. I don't think the guys have a winning kick, you know what, mentality. I think it's more of a, so look how much money I make. I'm a starting linebacker, defensive end. Nobody knows my name. I don't care because I make this kind of, and that's the sentiment. And everybody on the teams, and it's not just relegated to the Pittsburgh Steelers, everybody on the team is basically like, oh, well, you know, it's a me. It's a me. It's a me. It's a my brand. And the coaches are these coaches who, like, you know, they got to listen to these players. They listen to the players. The players don't listen to the coaches anymore because the players are basically like, hey, you know how much money I make? You can't tell me what to do. I mean, we're seeing this, you know, play out. We've seen this play out with the AB thing. But it's like, it's ridiculous. And I agree with you guys, you know, and I agree with you 100%. You know, we have a lot of guys that have a lot to offer, you know, to come back in. Just give them a mentality. I mean, you know, like say, listen, if you're going to go out and play balls out, hey, if you get fined, you know, for hitting somebody, so be it. You know, it's not like you're out there trying to be a thug. Go out there and play the game. And if you get fined for something, let it go. But that's what's missing. I think that's what's missing. I think, you know, in fairness of the game, I think everybody wants the game to be, you know, clean and stuff like that. But you got to get back to playing stealing football, which is hit him in the mouth, man. And I mean, we don't see it. I mean, it's embarrassing. It is really embarrassing to watch a 42-year-old quarterback, you know, beat Pittsburgh on a Monday night game. And he doesn't leave the field with internal injuries. I mean, you know, if you got to jump your ass off sides and knock hell out of him, take the $10,000, $15,000 fine. But let him know this kind of game is going to be, you know. None of that's happening. Nobody has that mentality anymore because everybody's, you know, everybody's like afraid. And everybody's trying to play this little, you know, this little cutesy little girly game. And maybe that's why they're not, maybe that's not why they're not hiring us, because, you know, that's our mentality, man. And it's just a different mentality. I mean, you still got a couple of guys out there that I like, you know, not necessarily still the players, but guys that I, you know, watch in the league that I like and that are still going after and getting after. But I think the Steelers from a, you know, I think across the board, just across the board, from defensive back to offense, I mean, defensive linemen to the linebacker. I mean, they are, I mean, I bleed black and gold. You know I do. But right now, it's garbage. Let's call it what it is.
Greg, to the point you make a moment ago, is the game getting away from being about team, about us, about the, you know, collective band of brothers, and getting more and more to a point where it's all about me and all about my brand and making sure my brand gets out there on social media and that sort of thing? And the focus is now getting away from the team aspect?
I can almost guarantee you that it is. With the exception of those teams that are still show up every year in the playoff and winning Super Bowls, those teams are being taught. They're being taught, you know, to play. They're being taught to play, you know, team football. They're being taught to be, you know, altruistic, being unselfish. You know, they have an altruism, you know, and that's what gets you to where it is. But I think everybody now is so concerned about their brand. You know, what I want to do, you know, okay, I'm in a contract year. I really don't want to get hurt, so I'm going to play enough just not to get hurt so I can get, you know, we didn't care about that. You know, like I told you, I think I told you guys in shows that we've had before, we made it mandatory that we come in and watch film together as a unit. You know, and I remember Rockwoods and Carnell Lake would go in and watch film, and then Kevin and I would go in and watch film. And then we said, like, why are we doing this? Why do we have the whole team in here? You know, us just doing this, you know, I mean, you know, that's good for us. But getting the whole team in here and being able to do this. So, you know, we had days where we would just, you know, mornings where we would beat the coaches in there. We would go and watch family. We were like, hey, LK, Neslevox, LK, you know, make a call. You know, you make a call and everybody makes their adjustments on that call. You know, and we're watching, and that's how it went. But so by the time Sunday got there, it was like, man, you know, we could do this thing with our eyes closed. You know, because you could run and do things so much faster because you knew exactly what was going on. But I don't think, you know, like I say, with my little small, you know, coaching thing I did when I was in Tampa in 2010, I saw guys not, you know, it's like, hey, man, it was like the 3 o'clock school bell. When the 3 o'clock school bell rang, everybody was running to get to the bus. So everybody's running to get to their cars to get out of there. It's like nobody's putting in an extra time. Nobody wants to be better. Everybody wants to be average. And that's the difference, man. It's like, it's not, and coaches will tell you, great coaches will tell you, you know, that the difference between being a really, really, really good football player and a great football player is really the little bitty things. And it's not that big. It's the little bit taking care of the little bitty things. So as a unit, you know, you have to have guys, and that's what was good when you had, I guess you can say, a veteran team. When you have a veteran team, you know, guys know what to do. You got veterans, two or three veterans in each position. They know what to do, know what to say. Know how to prepare, know how to get themselves well, know how to eat, know how to go to bed, know how to do those things. But when you have a young team, you have to have some people in there that's, you know, that willing to say, hey, listen, man, this ain't good for us. You know, you shouldn't be doing it. And that's what we did. We held each other accountable, you know, and it's like the one thing you never wanted to do, and it had nothing to do with coaches. Coaches coach. On Sunday, the cameras don't show the coaches missing plays and missing tackles and missing, you know, assignments. It's always going to point to the players. So coaches coach. That's what they do. They stand on the sideline on Sunday. So it's our job to get ourselves together. That's our profession. That's a professional job. You're a professional. And you have to be a constant professional. Your job is to get yourself ready. to play. And if you don't get yourself ready to play, then they can hire anybody next year to come and replace you, because that makes you average. And you got to do that job so well that that team always going to be thinking, you know what? We cannot win without this guy. And that's what you want to have. But they don't do that anymore. I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, aside from, you know, I know that you can't hit and all that stuff. You're trying to make it. But listen, man, how you going to learn how to tackle? How you going to tackle somebody if you never practice tackling? You know, how you going to block somebody if you never practice blocking? I mean, to me, if that's the rule, then you get out there amongst yourselves and say, okay, you know, we willingly are going to get out here and we're going to get after each other individually before practice, after practice a little bit, so that we understand this right here. But you have to incorporate it. But I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm not trying to understand. I just think that the game that we're playing right now, I may have said this earlier, probably in 5 to 10 years, you might see the first female player. That's how soft it's getting.
Greg, one of the things that we hear an awful lot about the Steelers defense is the fact that they're not communicating. We have a breakdown in communication. We're not communicating well. We're not on the same page. What causes that to break down? Is that more along the same lines that we're not a team? We're focused on individual things. We're not focused enough together. We're not watching enough film. We're not getting together enough as a group. How does communication break down on a defense?
Well, I can tell you this right here, for those of us that married and been married and, you know, whatever, you know, the last thing you want to hear from a wife or a daughter or a kid or anybody is that, you know, there's no communication. You know, you're talking at me, you're not talking to me. I mean, you have to spend time. You spend most of, when we were playing, I spent more time with my teammates than I actually spent with my family. So yes, you know, you should be communicating better. Isn't that what the training camp is for? The training camp and the OTAs and all that. What happened to all that? Are you guys not communicating that? I mean, I think some people may use it as an excuse, but you have to make sure. What we did was we got those 11 guys that we knew were going to show up on Sunday, were going to be on that first unit. We would also require our backups to be in there with it, because, you know, you're only one play away from starting. And you sit down in there and you talk about what's going on. Hey, listen, even if you got to come to fisticuffs or argue or whatever, at the end of the day, you get it worked out. And if it's a play or two that every time we call this play that two or three guys get it mixed up, guess what we do? Let's just toss it. You know, let's not even worry about running this play. Let's just toss this play, you know, and, you know, we'll bring it back into the program maybe next year if we can get people go. But let's go out there with 50 something plays or 30 something plays or 25 or however many of our best plays that everybody's on the same page with, and we run them and we run them to perfection. That's what it has to be. But again, coaches coach. Guys have to get in there and do their job. Their job is to make sure that they know every one of those plays and who around them, what those other players are doing inside and out. You know, there's no excuse for that. You know, second game, first game of the season, I understand you still ironing some things, but you had 3-4 preseason games to iron this stuff out. And then on top of that, all this OTA and you got to show up and all this stuff that you haven't doing offseason. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, are you just showing up and, you know, and playing cards? What are you doing? That's the time to get communication, you know, down. But I think what happens again and again is that you got these young players who they want to be on you guys' show. They want to be on ESPN and TNT. They want to be on it for the wrong reasons. You know, I mean, hey, listen, catch a pass. If your job is a wide receiver to catch a pass and you catch a pass, That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, like, you haven't done anything fancy. I mean, you know, if you catch a pass in between two players with one hand on fingertip, yeah, we seen this happen. You know, yeah, great play. But if you catch a pass, what's so exciting about that? That's your job. If you go in there and you make a tackle, there's nothing exciting. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. You make a block. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. But they're making it like, wow, look what I did. You know, they're making it about them. And again, like you say, there's no Chuck Noll. I mean, that's why, you know, the Patriots are having the success that they're having because they still have a coach who thinks like, and coaches like the Coach Knowles and the Chuck Knoxes and the Don Shulas do. That's why they're doing that. Because it's like, hey, listen, it's my way or the highway. If you don't do what I say do, if you don't do it like I say do, if you don't get it like I say do, if you don't practice like I say practice, then get your bus ticket, a plane ticket, get your car and get out of here. And I think that's what has to start happening. But, you know, the game is getting to the point where, like you said, you got a lot of people who are, you know, attaching themselves to the NFL, a lot of money. So people want, they think people want to actually see this crap. You know, I don't care to see, you know, Gronk doing, even though he ain't in, I don't care. I don't care for that stuff. All I care about is on Sunday, give me a good show. Give me a good show. Let me see some good tackling. Let me see some good catching. Let me see some good, you know, banter back and forth going on. Let the guys play the game the way it's intended to be played, you know. And like you said, there's nothing wrong with, you know, a guy, you know, you make a sack, you celebrate, nothing wrong with it. But when it gets to be choreographed and all that, it's a poop show. It's what it becomes. It becomes almost a poop show. And it's not what it should be. You know, it's just be a professional. I mean, be a professional, man, and be a professional all the time. You know, saying you ain't gotta, you know, talk. Everybody know. Hey, listen, we gotta cover that guy. Hey, listen, we gotta make sure that, you know, this guy right here, you know, we gotta get back there, put some pressure on him. We let him sit in the pocket, or he gonna. That, I mean, you know that. You know those things. So, you know, let's just get out there and play football, man. Cut out all the other crap that's going on, all this talking and all this, you know, who cares if you got a watch that costs $80 million or $4 million or two? What does that have to do with football? Again, it's bringing attention to myself. It's like, it's almost like a kid who said, I'm, you know, like the actresses and people like this. I'm fading out of this game now, so I got to do something now to reinvent myself. Like, just play football, catch passes, you know, tackle, sack quarterback. You know, stop plays, you know, throw the ball, catch the ball. That's what it's all about. That's what people go to the game to watch. All this other stuff, you know, you got this new generation who don't understand what happened in the 90s. I get that. You know, they don't understand that, you know, a guy like Tom Brady had to play with us on Monday Night Football and Welker and them guys. I mean, Elderman and all them guys. These guys would be in the hospital. We would put them in the hospital. We wouldn't care. We didn't give a good bleep, bleep, bleep about a fine. We would put this guy in the hospital. There's no way in the hell he would have catched the pass and walked up and pointed first down like that. I mean, I'm going to take that personal. I'm taking that personal. And I'm going to make sure that he does not. See, this is the difference. The difference in what we did and what they're doing now. We played to try to make people quit playing football. That was our job. It wasn't just to go out there and have a good time and, you know, to run around and grab guys and pull them down. We were trying to make you quit playing football. You know, to tell your mom and dad that you hate them for making you play this game because you got people out there that are trying to kill you. That's the football game that we played in the 90s, and it's going to be a long, long time, if ever, that you see that again. And you don't have guys with that mentality no more. You got a couple. You got a few. I ain't going to say that. You got a few. But not everybody has that mentality because everybody's now like, I'm paid. You know, everything's about, and then you go, well, who are you? You know, I've never heard of you. You know, you may make $12 million, $13, $14, $20 million a year, but I've never heard of you. And if I've never heard of you, you can't be that good. You know, especially if you play this. So that's how I see it, and that's how we see it. But it's just different, man. Like I said, it's a different game, and it's a young guy game. It's a young, you know, younger generation game and stuff like that. So everybody wants all of this flare and glare, and then on Sunday when they watching TV, they go, oh, well, that's what you get. You know, that's the product that you're going to get when you put flare and glare on the field. You know, you don't put, you know, sound tackling because you're not practicing sound tackling. You don't get, you know, I mean, you know, how do you say you're going to be a cornerback and you can't cover nobody? How are you going to be a safety and you can't cover nobody? I don't get that.
Bob, one more for Greg before we let him go.
Oh, yeah, Greg, I mean, you pretty much answered everything I was going to ask. I'll just piggyback on that. And Chris was mentioning some of the players you play with. And again, my question was basically, how did you guys leave the egos at the door before you started? And because, you know, I mean, you talked about great coaching kept you kind of down to earth. I would think that the Pittsburgh Steelers front office, I got to give them a lot of credit too, Greg. They got a lot of guys like yourself who are on the same page.
Well, I mean, I think what happens is that, you know, doing the scouting back in there, you know, you got me. I'm from, you know, HBCU. I'm from a historically black college. You know, we trash talk in practice. You know, we trash talk getting off the bus, win or lose, you know. But it was because we had done the work, you know. And this is what I see. This is how I always say it. Even when I coach and train taekwondo, I tell people this right here. You know, the difference between hope and expectation. You know, if you hoping, that's like we hope to win, or we hoping to win. You haven't done the work. You haven't done the work if you hoping. If you expect to win, you've done the work. Now, the difference with, but the thing with us was when we stepped on the field, our thing was, our expectation was, we're going to hold anybody that we plan today to under 100 yards rushing, to 75 yards rushing, and to under 100 and something yards passing. Why? It's because we had done the work. We had done the work in practice. We had an expectation of what was to happen. We had pushed ourselves. We argued at each other. We called each other out when each other didn't get it done. And you know what? Everybody got it. Everybody understood that. I'm getting called out because my team has an expectation of me. I'm calling out this other guy because I have an expectation of him. Not because I want to embarrass him or I want the attention to go, look at. No. I'm calling them out because there is a standard that has been set, and that what you just did is not the standard. We don't make excuses. You do something, you come back to the huddle and go, my bad, man. I got to make that up. My bad. I jumped outside. My bad. You know, I get that back. That's what we did. You know, we held each other accountable and we were accountable. We can come to the sideline and say, and I remember LeVon, Coach used to call plays and I used to hate him. And LeVon was the signal caller and being the, and, you know, we were the captain. I go, oh, we're not running that. We're not running that. Call this play. We're running that. And so Kirk would go to the sideline and, you know, Kyle would always go, LeVon, you know, we don't get off the field. We don't hit the play for 2 or 3 yards, get off the field. And I would see him getting down there, getting in Kirk's behind. And Kirk never opened his mouth and said, do you know what changed that play? He would just sit there and go, yeah, yeah, like, yeah, take. Because he was committed to us. He was committed to team. He wasn't so much committed to coach. He was committed to those other 10 players that was on the field. And that's what you loved about it. So if a guy's going to do that for me, if he's going to do that for me, not that he needed to, but if he's going to do that for me, you think I ain't going to hit his back when he looks at me and say, hey, G, make sure you get a piece of that tight end. I'm not just going to get a piece of him. You know, I'm going to make sure that, you know, he knows that I was there. You know, kind of thing. And that's what we did. And we practiced that. And we practiced that. And we practiced that. And we got to the point where, like you say, you can't mess with one of us without messing with the other 10 of us. And so it was family. It was truly a family. You know, it was almost like a mob, dude. It was almost like we were a mob. You could not say something to one of us without the rest of us getting there. And it was because of the bond that we built and how we had practiced and the things that, and we had some guys, man, that came through that just didn't get that, and they didn't last long because it was like, this is not going to be about you. It's about the entire team. And yeah, there are going to be some individuals that are going to excel. There are going to be some people who are going to talk more about one guy than the other, but this is a team effort, you know? And like I say, I give all the credit to those big guys, George Steeds and the Don Levins and, you know, and all the Ray Seals and all those guys that, you know, put their hand on the ground and had the two gap and all that stuff so we could run free. Hey, man, those guys didn't get a lot of glory, but in the locker room, we gave it to them. And that's what they needed. That's what they wanted to hear. That's what they wanted to hear. They didn't have to necessarily have their name on the news and in the paper, but that's what they wanted to hear because we knew that, you know, without those guys, we couldn't do what we did, you know. So that's what it was about. And, yeah, you know, the Steelers have a lot to do with it and putting the right people in place. But, again, guys have to buy into what's being done. You got to come out there and you got to practice and you got to hustle and you got to be – you can't be the last guy. You can never be the last guy. You got to always want to be around the football and things of that nature. If you're not that guy, if you're not trying to be like that, then back then you couldn't have been on our team. And I think that's what's missing, not just with Pittsburgh, but with a lot of defense, a lot of teams now, because, again, you know, you just have a lot of guys that are, you know, there's a lot of changing of teams and, you know, contracts and stuff like that. So it's hard to keep, you know, teams together now because of, you know, money and things of that nature. And I get it. But at the same time, like you say, you know, if you want to win, that's what you got to do. That's exactly what you got to do.
Well, Greg, It's always so much fun having you as part of the show and getting your insights and the things that you bring every single time you join us. We can't thank you enough for being generous with your time, being so good to us over the years. And we are honored to have you as part of our Guest Hall of Fame now.
Well, listen, Chris and Bob, thank you so much, man. And listen, continued success with you guys, man. Keep doing this thing. And I see you guys doing this thing until you guys decide you don't want to do it anymore. You know, that's what I see. I always look forward to being on the show and then listen to the people that are on there before I come on. I enjoy it. And you guys just do a wonderful job, man. You really do. I like the way you guys, you know, conduct yourselves. Like you say, you let the guys, you know, say what they need to say and be done. And you have to come in. No jostling or picking a favorite. Like you guys just, you know, you take what it is and you go. And that's what I like about it. You know, it's kind of fits my personality. You know, it is what it is. You know, you say it. If that's how it happened, you need to say how it happened. You don't need to try to candy coat it. And I love that about you guys. So thank you guys. And thank you for the induction. Thank you for the honor. And you guys keep doing your thing, man. I'll keep listening.
It's our pleasure.
We appreciate you very much. Thank you, Greg. Take care, my friend. We look forward to having you back on the show again, I hope, real soon.
Talk soon.
All right, buddy. Take care. You guys have fun.
Bye-bye.
I'll catch you.
See you, Greg. That's the great Greg Lloyd. And Bob? Like we say, he comes on, he tells it like it is, and he lived up to that again tonight. You can't ask for anything more from a guest than what Greg Lloyd just gave us.
No, all I'll say is every time you talk to Greg Lloyd, now you know why that team was so good.
That's right. Demanded it of himself, and he demanded it of everybody else on the team, and they came together, and they got it done, and that's why they were so good. You're 100% right about that.